Happy Mother's
Day. I was going to ask you for that.
Okay, we're live.
Well, I hope we're live.
What would you...
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. And we do. This day may not be on any liturgical calendar, but why not take an opportunity to do as you commanded us to do and honor our parents, and specifically in this case, our moms. So we will take advantage of that opportunity, and we'll thank you for the family structure that you ordained and the unique roles that our mothers had in raising us and teaching us how to be kind and considerate of others and just doing things that only a mother can do properly. And just thank you for your provision in that and for the good memories that we have. Open our hearts to hear from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're celebrating, of course, our moms today, and thinking about mine, it's gotten where it's kind of hard to hold a conversation with her now because of her memory loss. But I will always remember her as I say as she was, but even as she is now, because one thing I can say about her is even though it's getting harder for her now, she is still absolutely she hasn't changed a bit. Her personality is still the same sweet, quiet, kind personality that she's always been. He hadn't changed a bit. And just have nothing but the utmost respect for her. She's always been more a quiet person. I actually feel like I got more of my personality from her. I know once I get to go and you get to know me a little bit, you say, really? But I feel like I got a lot of my personality from her. But she was always very thoughtful and always very wise, but not one who was quick to not necessarily forceful about it, just but very, you know, very kind in the way that she would present things. She'd be more likely to write you a letter than tell you outright. But, you know, if it was something that was really hard for her to say. Now, I never got one of the letters, but I think that probably has not so much to do with me as the fact that her Braille skills got rusty, and if she'd written me one hand, I wouldn't be able to read it. So she had to just come talk to me whether she wanted to or not. But... she has always had an unassailable character. Somebody who loves Jesus. Somebody who bases everything that she does in her life on the Word of God. Somebody who absolutely will not compromise her integrity or her purity. Somebody who loves by quietly doing. Always treated, and still does, I say as if she's not here, she's still here. But always treats Dad with respect. And I don't mean she's, you know, in groveling submission or anything. I think I was probably 18, 16, definitely a teenager before I ever even heard her say a word back to him in public. She might give him what for in private, but she absolutely would not do that in public. She would never, never speak evil of him to anybody else. I think I'd be equally surprised to hear her do that as if I heard her say a cuss word. She just does not do that. She was always helping me throughout my challenges at school. She read for me, long after most kids have graduated beyond having their parents read for them. She read for me all up through high school. Helped me with school projects and so forth. Sometimes I think she probably deserved more credit for those projects than I did, but they were my ideas. She may not have always enjoyed the reading material. Other kids got bedtime stories. I got Brave New World. She even taught herself Braille when I was very young. So that thinking that she would need that to be able to help me. And when I was 14, we took a college class together. They didn't have any sort of adaptive technology then, and so I basically worked from memory, and she could look over and read the terminal for me and read the books for me. She was not an authoritarian personality, but neither was she permissive. I don't ever have memory of her. Well, unless it was something, if it was something really big that we had done that required a little parental tag teaming, if you will, she might have said, we're going to have to talk to your dad. But I really don't remember her ever saying, "Wait till your father gets home." She could handle it herself. I remember one time I did something. I don't remember what I did, but she got the belt after me. And she hit me with the wrong end of it, hit me with the buckle end of it. And, at the time, I never questioned whether that was an accident. Later, I wondered maybe just a little bit. I remember the only time I ever saw her cry. Something I did, and I don't even remember what it was now, but boy, I sure remember the way it affected me. I didn't want to do that again. And I remember one time having a bully in school that was giving me a hard time. And, looking back, I probably maybe had a little bit of that coming. But I remember telling Mom about it, and she talked to a relative of ours that was had a child in school that was an older boy. A couple of days later, that bully apologized to me, and then we never had any more trouble. I don't know what happened, and I never asked, but. I think it had something to do with that conversation. But she had amazing wisdom. I think I've mentioned before how she once told me that she had to let me run into things because I had to figure out for myself what I could and couldn't do and how not to get hurt. In order to learn how not to get hurt, I had to get hurt. And I can't imagine how hard that would be as a mother to let things like that happen. But she never told me I couldn't do something because I couldn't see. Amen. And the Bible was always her guide. Amen. Mothers are known for their love for their children. They always see the best in them. That's why we got that funny that we say, a face only a mother could love. Because they will. It don't matter what you look like. Your mama loves you. The kid gets in trouble. He's a downright thug, but he's such a good little boy. but they will willingly sacrifice. I remember my mom doing that all the time. We wanted something. If we didn't feel like we had enough, she would share what she had. I remember always feeling just a little bit guilty for accepting it, because that was hers. But what if the sacrifice that you have to make is the very relationship that you cherish so much? Some mothers do face hard choices and are in situations where they've even been forced to give up their children. Sadly, we've made it so easy. We've made it easier to kill them than to get them adopted in our society. And that's really a shame. But I also think back to the stories that we know from the Bible. If abortion had been an option in Egypt, Moses might never have been born. I don't think so, because his mom wasn't that sort. We're going to see a little bit more about her here in a minute. Moses' mother had a hard choice to make. If we remember the story, Joseph becomes a prominent person in Israel, and he brings his family to escape the famine. His family settles down and begins to multiply and grow strong. New king comes along, and he's afraid of them. He's afraid of them, so he enslaves them. And not only does he enslave them, he instructs the midwives that whenever they have a little boy, you kill it. But they wouldn't do it. They were righteous. And Exodus tells us God blessed them because they wouldn't do it. When they were questioned, they said, well, the women are too strong. They're already done before we get there. So then the king ordered that the children just be thrown into the river. But Moses' parents had a choice. They could go along. It would have been easier to just do what the king said. They could try to run away, but in a desert by themselves, it probably wouldn't have gone that very well. Or they could try to save him. And that is, of course, what they did. And we'll start reading in Exodus chapter 2 and pick up the story. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful, when they saw, when, let's try that again. When she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile. And her maidens walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then the sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for him from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And she became her, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Scripture is interesting sometimes in the way that it puts things together. Some people never get named. Some people you have to go dig for their names. So actually, this woman that is Moses' mother, by the time you get to chapter 2, her name never gets mentioned. But we can find out who she is if you look back in chapter 1. And I'm sure there's a proper way to pronounce this, but I don't know what it is. Jochebed is the best I can do with it. Not a very pretty name from our standards, but it probably means something nice. But we find out by looking, actually, looks like you have to look in Exodus chapter 6, rather, to find that. And we find out that she is an actual daughter of Levi. She was the sister of three brothers. There might have been other sisters, but they're not mentioned. But she marries her nephew, Amram. It's interesting, a little bit later when Moses writes down the law for the children of Israel, he commanded them, don't do that. But the law hadn't been written yet. There wasn't anything prohibiting that from happening. But what she did, she kept him as long as she possibly could. The people were slaves of the Egyptians. It would have been impossible to hide the child forever. And if he had been discovered, he definitely would have been killed, and possibly they would have too. So she put her own life in danger to save the child. And then, so then she puts them in the basket, says the sister to watch, and we think, well, is this really any better? I mean, she didn't drown him, but she's kind of left him out there. But she didn't leave him without somebody to watch over him. And it was probably hoping for something like this to happen, somebody to come along and take the child. She could not have guessed, though, that it would actually be the daughter of Pharaoh. She made every effort under the circumstances to save the child. And this is called an act of faith on her part. She shows up. The parents show up in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, as one of the great people of faith. Now, one can argue about the method, but one thing we know for sure, God had a plan. And her efforts to do the right thing and to save the child were rewarded. Because the king's daughter found him and hires his mom to nurse him and then adopts him. So what Pharaoh was so afraid of and was trying to stop by destroying all these children is later going to come back, and the thing that he fears is going to happen. They're going to escape at great cost to Israel, or great cost rather to Egypt. So as a result of this woman's courage, Moses grows up with all of the advantages of being an Egyptian royal, with all the learning, all the education, everything that he would not have had access to as a Hebrew slave, he had access to as a prince. Moses was God's chosen instrument to free his people from slavery. And eventually, he will be the one who leads the people into the land that God promised them. God's plan to redeem the whole world continues because of the actions of one woman. That's why I call her a mom who changed the world. There are a lot of things that may concern a parent, that may concern a mother. Making the child, meeting the child's needs, making sure they have everything that they need, teaching them the right lessons, making the right choices. And you know what? Sometimes we make mistakes. We all do. And I know the people that I'm speaking to directly have already had their kids and grown them up, and you've already made your mistakes. But know this, that God is capable of bringing good even out of mistakes. Some of them might have been serious, but God is able. God is able to make good things. The good news, God is still in control.
Amen.
He sees everything that you do.
Right.
It may seem like a small thing. It may seem like it's not enough. But he knows your heart. And he is able to bring great things from your effort. When I first looked at this story several years ago, I don't know how many times I'd read it before, but it was just part of a historical account. It didn't seem all that significant to me, except that it explained how Moses came to be who he was, and that was important. But what his mom did didn't seem particularly noteworthy. Doesn't everybody try to save their kid? I guess some don't, but not so with God. God saw things differently. This family did what they could under the circumstances to save their child. It would have been a very hard thing to do. Imagine having to give up your child. I know that people have had to do that. Even today, sometimes people have to do that. And the best way to save him was to give him up and let somebody else have him. But yet God used it in redemption, not only of the nation of Israel, but ultimately of the whole world. Because of what she did that day, events were set in motion that would eventually lead to the establishment of the nation, the rise of the king, and the rise of the ultimate king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when you've done what you can, trust God with the rest. He is able to bring good from your situation. Just keep being faithful and watch what he does. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can know and be certain that when we're doing what you have called us to do, when we're being obedient, even though we may have made mistakes and we may have tripped up and fallen in the past, you are able to take everything, the good and the bad, and bring us to a place where your will is accomplished and good things are done, bigger and better than we could ever possibly have imagined. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you have done. And we pray and we trust that as we sit here today as a people, or stand here today as a people, that you are able to take our faithfulness and make something bigger than we can possibly imagine out of it. I'm ready, Lord. Let's do this thing. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.